Welcome to Reflection Time, the program that looks at world events and everyday issues through the eyes of the scriptures, and as well shares with you some inspirational music. Welcome to Reflection Time. And in the first half hour, we will be continuing with our discussion that has been ongoing for the past couple weeks with regards to Israel and prophecy. Due to the material that we want to cover, that we need to cover today, we won't be carrying our usual health tidbit from Lifeline Productions, but we will be, as I mentioned, carrying on with our discussion. In the studio today, we will have Mary Osarik to help us look into this issue a little further. But before that, I'd like to open with a hymn from a CD entitled Hymns Just for You. And the selection will be entitled Glorious Things of Thee Are Spoken. Welcome back. Now, in our studio, we have Mero Sarek with us. But before we engage in our discussion on Israel and prophecy, I just want to recap what we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks for those of you who might be just tuning in for the first time. Of late, we've seen many news items which have referred to Israel and prophecy carried by the mainline news networks. And they've been, as we well are well aware, we've been bombarded with us, you know, from all angles, really. So in the first episode, we spoke about what... We looked at Daniel chapter 9 to see what light this could shed on it. And in the second program, we looked at some time prophecies that even Jesus referred to during his ministry about the 490 years that he had given his people, that he would try to draw them back to a true walk with him, to bring them to repentance. But in today's program, we want to look at an interesting subject, and that is to identify who is Israel. When the Bible refers to the name Israel, who does it actually refer to? And this is actually quite an interesting subject, one you may not have considered. So perhaps, Mary, you'd like to lead out by just giving us a little bit of history as to where Israel came from.
Yes, we need to go back in the Old Testament and look when this... Israel name appear. But before we do that, I thought I would take us back about 4,000 years ago to a man named Abraham or Abram. It's interesting, Paul, that God, we'll see in the Old Testament, number of places where God changes a person's name as a significance of a newness in a walk. A person that had a name first given by the parents. Later on, we see that God gives them a different name. Or, in, you know, through a visions, whatever, the person is given a new name to signify a change in that person's life. But Abram lived about 4,000 years ago. As interesting history, you know, he had a son by promise named Isaac. And then Isaac had two sons, Jacob and Esau, with Rebekah. And it's interesting when you read that in chapter 27 on Genesis, it's a whole interesting when Isaac was old. You know, he was getting old. It was time for his first son, born son. Even though Isaac and Jacob were twins, Esau was the first one who came out, so to speak. And he was the one who was supposed to be the firstborn and therefore the rightly heir of as Isaac was to die. But we see in chapter 27 a story where, and we don't have time to go through all details, how Jacob, who actually was the more spiritual of the two brothers, with the help of his mother, planted a deception. So Isaac, who was couldn't see very well, gave thought it was Esau that that had prepared the meal and so on for him, and gave the birthright to, thinking it was Esau, but he gave it to Jacob. And of course, when Esau found out when he came back, there was he was angry, of course. And we see from here that Jacob then fled from Isaac and Esau. And departed from that place. And Jacob, actually, interesting, is called supplanter.
Yeah, a name always means something, yeah.
Yeah.
So basically, he went into the wilderness mm-hmm. For fear of his life, basically.
Yeah, he fled.
Yeah, yeah. So as time passed, about 20 years later, by this time, you know, his father had died. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit worked on his heart, and he wanted to make things right with his brother. Mm. And but yet he feared for his life, and he sought the Lord in prayer. And as he made his way back to meet his brother Esau, and his brother still was angry at this time. Mm-hmm. As the Lord would have it, the Lord revealed to him in a dream, basically, that, you know, Jacob's coming back. You're not to hurt him. But Jacob did not know this.
No.
So as Jacob returned, with his family, which was, you know, considerable in size by this time, you know, with his flocks and his family and his servants. The night before he was to meet his brother Esau, he met with a man that he did not know at the beginning, and he engaged in a struggle. Mm-hmm. And he at first thought it was his brother Esau.
Okay.
And he struggled with him throughout the night, and still not knowing who it was. And as morning came, he realized mm-hmm. that it was not his brother Esau, but it was actually an angel of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And if you look in Hosea, where is that? Hosea 12, verse 4, it actually refers to an angel that Jacob had fought with. So as a result of this interaction, this battle that took place between Jacob and the angel, mm-hmm. Jacob realized who it was, and he said, "I'm not letting you go unless you bless me first." Mm-hmm. And with that, Jacob was struck on his thigh, on his leg, and always after that, that was a mark of that interaction he had with the angel, that mm-hmm. he had that injury to his thigh. But the angel said to him, he said, "Your name shall no longer be Jacob, but it shall be Israel."
So this is the first time we see it referred to the name of Israel.
Israel referred to one man. Only one man at this mm-hmm. point. And so basically, this is the first inference to this name, first time it's really mentioned. And from that, the Bible builds on that to give us a little bit more information as time goes by as to how Israel went from one man beyond that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, that we said before. He said, name should not be nor called Jacob, but Israel. Revealed now that God had given him a new character. Thus the name Israel is a spiritual name, symbolizing Jacob's spiritual victory over his past sin of deception.
Yeah. And that's true. That's important to remember. Mm-hmm. The spiritual victory. Because of the spiritual victory, he was given the name Israel. That's important to remember as we go through this study.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting, Paul, that we read in Exodus 4:22 and 23 that God said to Moses, this is obviously several generations later is when they were taken into, when Israel had 12 sons and they later on went to Egypt. And God said to Moses, "Say unto Pharaoh, thus said the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn, let my son go." And this is important to develop in biblical thought. The name Israel is now being expanded. It no longer refers only to Jacob, but also to his descendants.
Yeah. And also in 1 Kings 8:16, it makes the statement, "My people, Israel."
Mm-hmm.
So what started out as one man's victory in becoming Israel is now the nation of Israel. So it started with one man, now it's a nation.
Mm-hmm.
Now if we look ahead and we look at Hosea 11, verse 1, there's an interesting prophecy written there. And it says, "When Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt." So there we see the nation of mm-hmm. Israel, called Israel, being called out of Egypt. But let's go ahead now about 800 years into the future beyond that prophecy, into Matthew, into the New Testament, into Matthew 2, verses 14 and 15. And what we read here is, just to give a little bit of history here, is that this is referring to the time just before just around the time of the birth of Christ, mm-hmm. when Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Then the death decree went out to kill all the children, all the young boys, and Joseph received a dream to take Jesus and his mother Mary into Egypt for mm-hmm. protection, so they would escape the death decree. And after Herod had died, again, the angel in a dream revealed himself to Joseph and said, "Now it's okay to go back, home, mm-hmm. to leave Egypt." And if we look in Matthew 2 verse 14 and 15, it says, "When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son."
Yeah.
So Hosea is not just referring to the Exodus from Egypt, the Exodus of Israel from Egypt. He's referring to the Exodus of his son Jesus, mm-hmm. of God's son Jesus, out of Egypt. So again, we see Israel started out as one man. Now Israel again is applied to one man, that being Christ. So there's several parallels. Maybe you want us to cover some of the parallels that exist between the nation of Israel and Christ now being referred to as Israel.
Yes, and we'll keep that in mind as we look more of some other text that draws a parallel between the Old and the New Testament. The history between Israel and the history of Jesus Christ. In Hebrew history, a young man named Joseph, who had dreams, went to Egypt. In the New Testament, we find another man named Joseph who had dreams and then went to Egypt, as you just mentioned. When God called Israel out of Egypt, he called that nation my son, as we just read in Exodus 4:22. And when Jesus came out of Egypt, God said, out of Egypt I have called my son. When the nation of Israel left Egypt, the people went through the Red Sea. They were baptized in the sea, as Paul mentions in 1 Corinthians 10:2. In the third chapter of Matthew, we read that Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River to fulfill all righteousness. And then God called Jesus my beloved son in verse 17 of Matthew 3:17. After the Israelites passed through the Red Sea, they spent 40 years in the wilderness. Immediately after Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River, he was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness for 40 days, Matthew 4:1-2. At the end of 40 days, Jesus resisted the devil's temptation by quoting three scriptures. All were from Deuteronomy, the very book that God gave to Israel at the end of their 40 years in the wilderness. What does this mean? It means that in Matthew's book, Jesus is repeating the history of Israel point by point, and he's overcoming where they failed. He's becoming the new Israel, the Prince of God, and one victorious man who overcomes all sin.
Very interesting, because we mentioned at the beginning that the name Israel was given to him because of the victory that he had attained.
Yes.
Now, Christ, where the nation of Israel had failed, Christ now becoming the true fulfillment of Israel was to gain the victory. So we see, you know, in a sense, history repeating itself. You know, what wasn't done right the first time was now being done right the second time by God's own Son. And there's several other comparisons we can make between Christ in the New Testament and the Old Testament. We read in Psalms 80 verse 8 where it says, Israel was called a vine, yet Jesus Christ declared, I am the true vine. So here we see Old Testament Israel. Now Christ being the true fulfillment of Israel is referring to himself as the vine. God referred to the nation of Israel as my son, even my firstborn. In Exodus 4:22, the Apostle Paul later called Jesus Christ the firstborn of every creature in Colossians 1:15. Isaiah called Israel the seed of Abraham, yet Paul wrote, "Now to Abraham and his son were the promises made. He saith not, and to the seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ."
Mm-hmm.
So Paul is clearly indicating that when we talk about Israel, we're talking about Christ now.
Yes.
It's not the Old Testament Israel, it's in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And the last text is probably the clearest of them all, and it's in Isaiah 41 verse 8 where it says, Israel, the seed of Abraham. Yet here Paul wrote that Abraham's seed does not refer to many, but to one, which is Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But there's more. In Genesis and Exodus, the name Israel not only refers to one victorious man, to Jacob, but also to his descendants who became Israel. The same principle is also revealed in the New Testament. After the statement about Jesus being the seed, Paul told his converts, "And if ye be Christ's, then ye are Abraham's seed."
Mm-hmm.
Thus, the New Testament, the name Israel applies to the victorious man, Jesus Christ, the true seed, but also to those who are in Christ. Very much parallel to what took place in the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
God made a covenant with the 12 tribes of Israel at the foot of Mount Sinai through animal sacrifices. Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, "Behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord had made with you," in Exodus 24:8. At the end of Jesus' ministry, he too made a covenant with the 12 apostles in the upper room.
Mm-hmm.
Before he offered himself as the great sacrifice, he said to his disciples, "This is my blood in the New Testament, or the New Covenant, which is shed for many for the remissions of sins." So here we see a covenant to Israel in the Old Testament made by blood. Here we see a covenant to Israel made by blood in the New Testament. So interesting. Old Testament referred to one, then the followers are the sins of Israel. New Testament, we see Christ and his followers referred to as the fulfillment of the promises of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an interesting statement that Paul makes too in the book of Romans. He says, they are not all Israel, which are of Israel.
Mm. And you know, Jesus Christ also taught the same concept of this faith lineage in John chapter 1. As you recall, there is mentions a spiritually minded Jew named Nathanael. And he was wondering whether Jesus of Nazareth was really the Messiah. And as we read that story, Paul, we realize that when Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, he said in John 1:47, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile, and meaning no deception. And here, you know, Nathanael had a natural lineage that went back to Abraham, yet he had more. In his spiritual life, he had gained victories over guile, which means deception. When Jesus discerned Nathanael's spiritual lineage to Abraham and Jacob, he called him an Israelite indeed. Therefore, just as the man Jacob became a spiritual Israelite, even so had this man, Nathanael, become an Israelite indeed. He was part of God's true spiritual Israel.
Yeah, interesting. Mm. So the Bible is absolutely crystal clear. Israel now, when the Bible refers to Israel, it refers to Christ and his followers.
Indeed.
And I think it's very important to mention that Christ's followers include now both Jews and Gentiles.
Indeed.
That's clear from the Bible.
Yes.
There's no doubt about that. That's even clear from the Old Testament prophecies.
Mm-hmm.
Now, many people will ask, what about the prophecies, the Old Testament prophecies? You know, they talk about, you know, the rebuilding of the temple or the reestablishment of God's people. And that those are questions that keep surfacing. That's why we see these newscasts nowadays that talks about, you know, the rebuilding of the temple, the fulfillment of prophecy. Mm-hmm. And in the next program, we're going to delve into that. But maybe, Mary, you'd like to share with us one quick text as to how the Bible summarizes that.
Yes, and 2 Corinthians 1:20. I would like to leave thus with this. For all the promise of God in him, referring to Christ, are yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. So just tell us that everything was that Christ overcame where Israel in the past failed. He now gives us this victory, and we can be part of a spiritual Israel that's fulfilled in him.
Yeah. So now our time is up. I'd like to just leave you with a song. It's a scripture song taken from Hosea chapter 11, verse 1, the prophecy which applied to the Old Testament as we discussed to it was fulfilled in Christ in the New Testament. Israel was a child.
when Israel was a child. Then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. When Israel was a child.
And that was Hosea 11, verse 1. That was taken from Scripture Songs 2, which is actually a Canadian CD, which can be reached at www.scripturesongs.com by Valiant Recordings. If you'd like any further information on our topic that we've been discussing today and for the last couple weeks, we will gladly make available to you a book entitled Exploding the Israel Deception. And it's by Steve Wolberg, and it's produced through Amazing Facts, published through Amazing Facts. If you have any questions or comments you'd like to share with us, you can reach us at radioreflection@yahoo.ca. That's radioreflection@yahoo.ca. Remember this week to take time to reflect on God's Word, and whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, and whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things.